blog.ericmhunter.net. Pay to continue. I listen to a ton of podcasts, 40 different shows and counting. I don't always listen to every episode, and typically I skip around and listen to something that I'm in the mood for. Other times there are shows I'll binge listen to an entire season, I guess you could call it, in just a few days. Other shows I listen to weekly. I have your popular titles like Radiolab, This American Life, Hollywood Babylon for those who are fans of Kevin Smith. I also listen to a ton of podcasts about video games, as I'm sure you can imagine. Giant Bombcast, Rebel FM, and Idle Thumbs have held my interest week after week for years now. These types of shows I enjoy mainly due to the subject matter, but also because I have a very different opinion from many regulars on these shows about the craft of video games. I've mentioned before that I've had many one-sided arguments with Jeff Gerstmann about how great Banjo-Kazooie is, and I stand by it. I am also constantly looking for new podcasts to listen to. Much like watching the same show again and again on Netflix, you start to wonder what's on the other side of the fence. Is the grass really greener? Not always. You run the gambit of poor audio quality, zero intros or show segments, or someone just dropping F-bombs left and right. I'm all for freedom of speech, but damn, man, stop saying f*** all the time. But sometimes, just sometimes, you come across a well-created podcast that you've never heard of before. The show that I discovered was the Experimental Game Dev Podcast Show, hosted by Action. I've only listened to a handful of episodes so far, but one really stuck out to me. February 18th, episode entitled The Journey and Design of Inversus, a competitive action slash strategy game and esport. This episode has developer Ryan Juckett, sole creator of Inversus. The episode is a good one. Talk mainly around origin stories, network coding, inspirations. I highly recommend the episode to any aspiring indie devs and the podcast in general. Action has episodes going back to April of 2006, including well-known names like Jonathan Blow of The Witness and Braid fame. About a little over an hour in, Juckett speaks about mobile gaming and those games that seem to shine through the mass clutter that mobile gaming can seem to be. He mentions the fact that most of the games that are successful aren't good in terms of mechanics, but are very good in exploitation, which builds their popularity. The free-to-play model comes up, and both agree that there's a right way and a wrong way to use the free-to-play model correctly that doesn't come off as paying to continue. A gambling mechanic, if you will. Then Action says something interesting.
I don't know what to think, because I feel like because the reason why I'm fascinated by this is because it is nice when you can make a game that has good success, financial success, but it also gives you peace of mind. You know, and I see what's happened. It's like, I don't know if you're familiar with Social Casino, but no. It's like this huge, it's a decent part of the games industry where all it is slot machines. And they've just, and people are playing these things like crazy. And it's like, and the people who are making these slot machines are making a killing versus someone who is trying to, innovate and pioneer new mechanics and systems. And I don't know. I think it's, okay. Anyways, I guess this is just a tangent, but it's just like, how do you balance like these addictive mechanics that seem to at least, well, I guess like you were saying before, that can draw people into the game, but they may not even stay because the rest of the game doesn't work for them.
As with any subject, this is a tough conversation to have. On one hand, you have developers who are tirelessly working day after day to create something new and creative. And on the other hand, you have AAA developers hiring a dozen or so developers to create another free-to-play Flappy Bird clone with their branding and logo strewn all about. One doesn't work without the other. But the thing that really got me is that there's such a larger conversation to be had here. because there's a reason that people will freely give their money away to play the next round without waiting. There's a reason that people will pay money to the same style games over and over again. There's something extremely important to learn from Juggen and Action's observation. Here's what I think. I hate Tetris. I hate most puzzle games for that fact. Columns, Candy Crush, Bejeweled. If I get one sniff of a puzzle game, I'm out. But as a game developer, what good does that do me? I'm completely ignoring the entire genre of games, a genre that probably has more gamers playing than any other genre at the moment. You can't simply ignore the fact. We need to realize that just because I don't like it doesn't mean everyone doesn't like it. Or just because I'm creating an FPS doesn't mean that the traits and inspirations from a puzzle game have no room. One thing I say again and again, play the greats and play the dogs. Play the games that are pinnacles of their time and genre, and play the games that everyone hates. The reason why they hate them and the reason why everyone loves them is more important than what you think about them. Again, I highly recommend that you listen to the episode in full and the podcast in general for that matter. There's more useful information there that you can shake a stick at if you are so inclined to do so. Shake a stick, that is. For more topics like this about indie games and indie game development, head on over to blog.ericmhunter.net.